Blog Talk Radio. Come get this teaching arranged by the author Sherelle Omiika Bidiako Garth. Come get this teaching. No, I'm not preaching. I'm just testifying. And you know I'm not lying. Well, we've taken our music to another place, somewhere out there in the middle of space, busting out with lines of ebonics, reducing ourselves to a level of demonics, when we can be pushing albums that blunt it. Instead, we choose to front it. Well, we don't take without giving back. We do this in order to circumvent lack. It's a fact. It's the principle of reciprocity in act. Come get this teaching. No, I'm not preaching. I'm just testifying. And you know I'm not lying. While we've gone from paying some dues to singing someone else's blues, we can't continue to allow ourselves to be used. Come get this teaching. No, I'm not preaching. I'm just testifying. And you know I'm not lying. We went from segregated to integrated to miseducated, now to reeducated. It's time. It's time. We've been dedicated before we soon regret it. Put down the pipes. Lift up your heads and let's possess the mics. For we're taking this music to a brand new height. Come get this teaching. No, I'm not preaching, just testifying. And you know I'm not lying. Once men are mute, unable to use the words of our own pursuit, we've got a brand new vocabulary at our disposal. While we're not even writing our own proposals, while the stories of the ghetto hood unfold, of the coming one to be foretold. Didn't you know it? That it's our time now to manufacture our own flavor of rhymes. Come get this teaching. No, I'm not preaching, just testifying. And you know I'm not lying. Let's take the message to a higher ground, like Stevie Wonder and James Brown. While we don't have time for fooling around, let's take the beat. Let's take the beat where we can all get down, where we can all get down. Knowledge and truth is what the people want to hear in this critical time of living in fear. Let's possess the stage like the coming of the new millennium age. Come get this teaching. No, I'm not preaching, just testifying. And you know I'm not lying. Now I'll ask you, are you the one? Or is there another to come to take this music to a higher level? And if you aren't, then come get this teaching and give it to those who I'm not reaching.
And welcome to Care to Read. You have your Omiika 7 here, your advisor, and your advocate, the one you need. Thanks for joining us this evening. We have a great show planned for you. We'd like to also welcome you to the room because we are doing a special segment on mind, body, soul, and spirit. We have been covering a number of different topics throughout the segment of our show. And as you know, we are sponsored by Project 2019 that underwrites this program. And they are here to help us with our mission statement on closing the gap and eradicating understanding of educational materials and closing the gap of educational literacy. And we want to make sure that our families understand that we are a consumer science resource center where we provide information and making it plentiful so that they can access the information and have an alternative choice. We believe in alternative choices here. We believe in also being the underdog for people and for things that need to be dispersed and information gotten out into the community. And as is always, before we speak, we acknowledge our ancestors in the audience, and we acknowledge also our elders. And we get the nod from our elders to give us the go-ahead to speak because we know we are the uninitiate. And in order to speak, you have to be initiated by an elder. And we welcome that environment in. We welcome those ancestors to be supporting us so that we can stand on their shoulders and give us direction for our lives. And I'd like to tell you that we had a very, very important topic this evening. We're talking about stale food. We're talking about cancer, the big C. That's right, the big C. We're going to eradicate the big C. If it kills us, we're going to fight back. And I want to tell you that you can fight back, and you must fight back. Cell food is something that people need to know about. I'd like to read you a little quote here from a brochure that I picked up. A great researcher once said that there's only one disease known to man. Though it's thought to have many names, it has one name, and the disease is too many toxins in the body and too few nutrients reaching the cells. Cell food is the only supplement that addresses both of these challenges at the same time. And that's what the difference is and uniquely makes it so different about cell food. Now, cell food is basically something most of us don't think about because we go in and we purchase vitamins, minerals, but we never ask for how do we get oxygen back into the cells, because we know the life of the flesh is in the cells. And if you're going to eradicate anything, you must examine the cells, making sure that your pH balances are in a normal range and not in an acid stage, because we know the beginning of disease starts in the colon. We also know that the beginning of disease starts with an acid body. So we're looking to alkaline our body. And some people don't understand that you can examine your body on a regular basis to see how alkaline your body is. Now, I'm not an expert on the subject, and I don't even claim to be, but I do take cell foods, and I use them regularly because I know that if you're going to eradicate cancer, you have to make sure your body is in a healthy stage. But I do have a specialist here, fortunately, that could talk about these topics of eradicating the big C. You know, we always sponsor a special book and recommend a book to a home so that the families will be involved in reading, and we are a book reading organization here, and our main thing is to advocate books and to push books. And today I'd like to talk to you about a book from Dr. Simeon Sinsing, and his last name is C-I-N-I, and his book is entitled Cancer is Fungus. You can even look up that website under www.cancerisfungus. This is a doctor that comes out of Italy, and he has claimed to come up with various different treatments, alternative modalities for cancer. And I'm sure you will find it very interesting and good reading. And once again, I'd like to let you know that our co-host is in the room. I don't know if he can say hello to us right now, but let me see if I can get him on the mic. Are you out there? Co-host, are you out there? Doesn't look like he has his hands up. Yeah. Okay.
Hello. Can you hear me? Hello, my name is Terrell Garf, and I will be your co-host this evening, and would like to welcome our guest, Bert Gelding, who will be talking about cell power. For those of you who have to call in, any questions, feel free to call 646-478-0270. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Terrell. He assists me and aids me in this classroom. I'm used to having assistants. I don't do this thing by myself. And once again, I'd like to say hello to our guests, and I'm assuming that this is our guest out there. We're going to go to commercial right now. Got to do a little house cleaning, and we'll come right back to the gentleman. But let me say hello to him and see if this is the guest here. Hold on. Hello.
Hi, Cheryl.
Yes. Is this Bert?
Yes, it is.
Hi, Bert. How are you?
Doing very well.
Just great. Bert, if you'll hold 1 second, I'm going to go to commercial, and I'll put you right back in the air. 1 second here. Hold on.
Okay.
I'll be brief. I won't hold you upright. So come with me. I'll get straight to the point. And no time, I'll have you up out this joint. I'll be sure. I won't keep you like you're in some jury court, waiting while debating which plaintiff case will prevail, or deciding which one will go to jail. Yes, I'll hurry. You don't have to worry. I'm already fixing to get ready to go. So
So before anyone hits the door, just remember, I still have the floor. I'm a poet, for those of you who don't know it, and it's been my real intention to show it.
And we're back, and you're in the air. Audience, I'd like to put that number up for you to call in, 646-478-0270. Please call in this evening. We have an excellent specialist in the audience that's our guest, and Bert Galding. And Bert, if you can, please pronounce your first name, your last name for me again, and correct us if we've been saying it wrong. I'm also going to give you a little introduction about Bert. I know Bert is a specialist in his field and working with cell food, also and working with the Big C, cancer. And he works throughout the country talking about cancer and doing workshops on cell foods. And he's going to be giving us a little introduction about himself, and then we will be posing some questions for Bert so that he can give us more information. And audience, I definitely encourage you to please call in with your questions. And Bert, we're going to borrow their airwaves for approximately 1 hour. We're in this room from 6:30 to 7:30, and I'm going to give you the airwaves now. Bert, you're on the air.
Thank you, Cheryl. Actually, the product we work with is called Cell Power, and Cell Power is it's a liquid condensed food product that specifically helps all the cells of the body. And I guess there's a lot we could discuss about that, but first you should know I'm not a doctor. I'm a clinical nutritionist, but I get a chance to work with a lot of medical doctors and naturopaths around the country. The one that you mentioned, Cheryl, Dr. Simoncini from Italy. Dr. Simoncini, his last name is spelled Simoncini, has written the book,
okay.
Cancer is a Fungus, and just like you said, you can find it at cancerisafungus.com. You can order the book in from Italy. But what we've really noticed is that there's a lot that people can do. They don't have to give up or feel fearful when they find out that they've been diagnosed with cancer.
And, Bert, I had some questions I wanted to ask you. Now, is there a manner or procedure that we can use on a regular basis if we found that there is cancer in our DNA and somewhere in our lineage? Is there things that we can do to eradicate it in our family? And how do we check ourselves to see if do we go into the hospital for blood counts? Or is there something that we can do at home to measure the acid in our body, and how does acid and alkaline affect this cancer cells?
Well, when you're dealing with something as serious as cancer, you do need to find out what's going on. So obviously, I think most people turn to their doctor or they get their first diagnosis from their doctor. You just want to make sure that the diagnosis is correct. And so sometimes you'll want to get a blind second opinion from a second doctor, and most people don't do this anymore, but it's very important. Insurance, any insurance plan has to pay for a blind second opinion. What that means is that you don't just go into another doctor and say, well, my primary doctor says I have cancer, is that right? They're bound by the rules in their profession to say, oh yes, your doctor's right. Regardless of, in other words, instead you can go in and say, I think there might be something wrong. Can you tell me what it is? And if without any help or hints on your part, if they come up with the same thing, then there's a good chance that you really do have the disease. Here's what I'm finding here in Southern California when I work in natural health clinics is that, people don't come to me as a nutritionist because they have cancer, because I can do anything for it. I'm not allowed by law to diagnose or to treat them or to do anything. But instead, they've already chosen to do something, a natural approach in their life. Okay, and what I found, which is interesting, is out of every 10 people that come to me and say, I have cancer, when they go back and they want to check and see if they really do, at least here in our part of Southern California, only 1 out of 10 actually has cancer. The other 9 were false positives on their test.
Oh,
so
my goodness.
This
what does that mean, Bert? What does that mean when you said false positives? What does that mean?
That means that they were diagnosed with cancer and they don't really have it yet. And I think people have to understand that the way that not all doctors, but a lot of doctors in the United States are starting to diagnose cancer is they've changed the whole way that they're doing it. Rather than sending it out to a pathology laboratory where they're having a trained person that sits in a microscope and puts the blood samples on a slide and looks for the cancer cells, and then when they find a slide that has cancer cells, they pass that on to say, oh, yes, this person has cancer, because they can see it and they can identify it. A lot of times what happens is that doctors are looking for cancer markers in the blood. Now, cancer markers in the blood doesn't necessarily mean that you have cancer. It just means that it's a possibility. So my recommendation is not to do it yourself or not to avoid doctors. It's to find the very best doctor you possibly can. And I recommend for most people to try to find a doctor who's in his late 60s or 70s and still practicing for two reasons. The first is that if you find a person that's still practicing and they're in their 70s, is they weren't just doing it for the money because they could have retired a long time ago. Okay, that's the first reason. The second reason is that they were trained completely differently in their university studies and their medical school training. They were trained to really be a health detective and to think and to go through. And a lot of the new training in medical schools is not to train a doctor to think. It's to basically just be a person that orders the blood tests and prescribes medication and that type of thing. So you have to really, first of all, be sure you have it. So when a person goes, oh, no, you know, and they're all fearful and they're really sad and their whole life is falling apart because they were diagnosed with cancer, you just have to remember there is a chance that you don't have it at all, that it was just by a false positive, Cheryl. What I'm saying is that it could be a false positive means that it comes back saying, yes, you do have it. Whereas a false negative would be a person saying, oh, you don't have cancer, but you really do. Does that make sense? So
yes,
a false negative means he says, well, you know, happy day, you don't have cancer. And then if you really do have it, then that would be a false negative. If you're told that you have it, but you really don't, it's a false positive. Now, of course, the problem with a false positive on a diagnosis is that if you start cancer treatment, which is always very hard on the body, if you're doing traditional treatment, which is chemotherapy or radiation or surgery, any of those three are extremely hard on the body. And then to be doing that, if you don't even need to because you don't really have that disease, is a difficult thing. So.
And let me ask you a question there. So in essence, that second opinion is normally a given. It is paid for. It is not some extra thing that you're paying additional fees for. It's already in your insurance package, which they offer you.
Oh, yeah, and it doesn't mean that they're going to not give you a hard time. They may say, oh, no, we don't have to do that, but you do. Every insurance plan by law has to allow a second opinion. Otherwise, it's just one person's opinion. Okay, I mean.
Now, Bert, what can you tell me about some of the studies out there? I actually have some information. I worked in tumor registry where they documented in the hospital. I did my intern in tumor registry because I had some interest because my father was diagnosed with cancer, and he was able to eradicate his for 7 years. But the tumor registry keeps documentation and record. Now, what can you do or what can you tell me about some of the alternative treatments out there in the way of vitamin C? At the time I was researching, two things I found out about cancer is that, you know, when they're given the command, they're given the command to invade, to pierce through And then they're also given the command to multiply. So you're dealing with a very forceful invader in the body, and the T cells, you know, they literally have to fight. There's a war going on in your body. But can you tell us a little bit about some of the studies that have been done with large masses of vitamin C? And I've been hearing some great things that are going on with addressing cancer and using high doses of vitamin C.
Well, yes, but I think before I get into that, Cheryl, what we need to discuss here is I'm not encouraging anybody to take something as serious as a diagnosis of cancer, which, of course, there's a possibility that you have it. I'm not saying that all diagnoses in the country end up 9 out of 10 are false positives. I'm just saying that's what I've seen in my own small area of just the people that have come to me. Okay, so I don't want people to not seek medical treatment or not talk to their doctors because they figure that they don't have it. You know, the first thing
that
happens.
And I'm glad you reiterated that. Thank you, Bert, for reiterating that, because people need to hear that. Thank you so much.
Yeah, no, you need to take it very, very seriously, and you need to consider everything that the doctor tells you. First of all, you need to realize that it's your life, your decision, and you ultimately have to make the decision. So as much as we may like to help a family member who has been diagnosed with cancer choose a natural way of dealing with that disease and reversing the disease and helping their body heal naturally without any of the so-called modern treatments, as much as we'd like to do that, they don't have to follow our recommendation, and we certainly don't want to get into a fight with our family members. So I think anybody listening to this who understands, has been through this before, is that you have to let the person decide. One of the things that I'll never forget is, and this is many years ago now, is that Michael Landon, the famous actor and TV director, had come down with cancer, and it was very serious. I think it was pancreatic cancer, but I don't know if that's exactly what it was. But he was going through the typical, the treatments from his doctor, and he was very, very sick, and it was getting worse. And he ran across a doctor in Mexico called Dr. Gerson, who used to practice out of the United States before it became illegal to do so. Most of the natural, very effective cancer treatments are no longer able to be done in the U.S. So hopefully, like you said, in this 1 hour where we get a chance to talk, we'll talk about how to look at the pH or the acid alkaline balance of the clear fluids of the body. This is something you can do at home. But this is not in place of going to a doctor. It's in addition to going to a doctor. It's part of taking care of yourself. Okay, so with Michael Landon, he was going through these. He found out that Dr. Gerson had talked about doing a natural approach, and Dr. Gerson and his wife are both doctors, and he's passed away, and she, last I heard, is still alive and still doing her work in Mexico. And so they do a lot of natural juicing, and they do coffee enemas, and they do all these things that you can learn about doing. And he started doing these natural approaches. He felt so much better that he was invited to go on the Johnny Carson show, and he appeared on it. At the time, Johnny was like, we all have heard that, Michael Landon has this pancreatic cancer. Why would they put him on my show? Here's going to be a person that's just going to look terrible, emaciated, will just look, pale and just look awful, and is going to come on this show. Why would I interview him? And Michael Landon comes on, and he's smiling and walking and looks all energetic. He sits down, and, Johnny said, well, hey, what's going on? I understand, you're dealing with some serious things. He goes, yeah. He goes, but you look like you're feeling okay. And he goes, I'm feeling great. I'm feeling wonderful. Well, the story I was told is that right after that, his close friends and family got together with him after the show and told him, please, please stop this alternative natural thing that you're doing and just go back to the regular treatments. And within just a few weeks after he went back to the regular medicine treatments, he was dead. He passed away. There are natural things that will help. There are a lot of natural things that can help, but that doesn't mean you avoid what your doctor's saying. What we're going to talk about today, and I hope this is what you want to talk about, Cheryl, but it's just after you've already been diagnosed and you get your second opinion or your third opinion, let's say that the first doctor says you have cancer, the second one you go to says, no, I don't see any cancer, you don't have it. Now you have two doctors, two professionals that are not agreeing, right? So how do you determine? You're entitled to a third opinion so that hopefully you can go with 2 out of 3. Right?
Right.
Because it happens very, very often. I had a good friend that went in and into the hospital, and they said, well, we don't know what you have, and we're not sure. And they said, well, maybe it's cancer. No, it's not. Well, we think it's related to your gallbladder. No. And so right outside of her room with the door open, and she could hear it, that she had four doctors just, discussing it the way they should. They're discussing it, but they had different opinions. And
Bert, let me intervene for a minute. I want to let you know that primarily I'm not just looking to see how many doctors can confirm it. What I'm looking for is possibly a way for preventative measures. What can we do as healthy, informed people do to prevent the buildup of all the acids and what's causing the acids? And if we, if we treat our bodies right, how can we prevent from getting cancer? And if we do get that C diagnosis at that particular point, then we can exercise those opportunities. But more so as a clinical coach, what do you do to talk to your clients about preventative measures?
Well, first of all, keep your doctor in the loop. That's what I tell them. And here's what we found is that basic chemistry, basic science is that cancer cells cannot survive in an alkaline environment. Now, it doesn't have to be heavily alkaline. So here are the actual steps. what you want to do is, if a person says, well, they're going to start chemotherapy in 3 weeks from now, I tell them, great, that in 3 weeks you can have the your pH balanced in your body. The pH means one thing it stands for is potential hydrogen. But it means that you would take saliva first thing in the morning and put it into a spoon. So anybody can do this. We do it with our whole family, children all the way down to the youngest children. You only do it once a week. You have each person salivate and, drool into the spoon with the saliva. And when you have about a third of a spoonful of saliva, you take a little clinical-grade test strip, which you can get at a good nutrition or health food store, sometimes at a pharmacy. You take a little clinical-grade pH test strip that will test either saliva or urine, but the only one that's going to help you get better is to test your saliva. So you put the test strip in there first thing in the morning before you brush your teeth, before you eat or drink anything. When you put it in there for 15 seconds in the saliva, you pull it out, wait another 15 seconds, so it's been a half minute total, and you'll match that up to the color on the pH chart. Now, you can go and get that done at the doctor. It'll cost you about $25, or you can do it yourself. Okay, and it's like you said, as far as preventative, you don't wait till you get a terrible disease to start testing your pH. I recommend that everyone start testing their acid-alkaline balance right now. Now, on this pH scale, you're measuring whether the fluid is acidic or base or alkaline, so either acidic or alkaline. So the scale runs from 0 to 14, okay? At 0 would be like battery acid. At 14 would be like lye. Both of those are very caustic, very, very bad. But the living range where your body can be alive is between 4.5 in the acid range up to 9.0 on the alkaline range. And right in the center, the neutral would be 7.0. Now, if you have distilled water, the definition of distilled water is that it comes out at exactly 7.0 on the pH scale. Okay, that means equal parts acid and alkalinity in the same fluid. Okay, half acid, half alkaline, that's neutral. That's right in the middle.
Excuse me, Bert. So you're saying that you can test your alkaline water to see, water that is alkaline, you can test it to see how much alkalinity it is?
Yeah, but that would be a different kind of a test strip, but you can get some pH test strips if you want to test the water you're drinking. You can get those from a fish store because you have to test the water in an aquarium for tropical fish. You can get them at a swimming pool supply store because you have to test your swimming pool. That's for testing water. But if you're testing your saliva...
Okay, now let me ask you some other question. My question is that I think that's taken a radical position. I think that's excellent to have that as a part of your routine to do that. It doesn't cost you very much, and if you know that the doctor has told you that this runs in the family. We've already had two lives in our family that was taken because of cancer. And the first time, my father, he had pancreatic cancer, and he fought. He fought all the way until they put a plastic stomach in, and he said, I'll wear this one until it's used up. And he actually lived 7 years with the plastic stomach, and he felt like he had beat cancer. My brother wasn't so fortunate. He had lung cancer, and it metastasized to the brain before we could even get him into his treatment plan. And he was already into hospice going, you know, just waiting to die at the fourth stage. And my sister just recently was diagnosed with it. And, you know, basically I'm not claiming hers as cancer because she's a fighter, and we've all come together and said that we are going to work to eradicate this one because we think she can fight it. She wants to. And, you know, for our family members, we're all saying now it's time to look at making sure we do preventative things in our family because, you know, just because something is systemically in your cosmic record, your DNA, doesn't mean that you don't have the capability of fighting it. And that's one of the reasons why I was so happy to have found you, because you sound like a person who was really working with those families to let them know that there are things you can do to eradicate it in your family and to fight back. But the other thing I wanted to know, with all the different programs that they have, alternative, now you mentioned the enemas, the coffee enemas, and the detoxification of eating raw foods. I like to kind of zone into that because that is an area that we're looking very heavily at, is changing the diet. How can you change the diet, and what are some of the things that you would be adding to your diet and taking out as well?
Well, before I answer that, Cheryl, if I can just tie up this one loose end, and that is that as you're measuring your pH, as soon as you get it into the healing range, which is just slightly alkaline, your saliva needs to be between 7.1 to 7.5. So in that range of 7.1 to 7.5, first thing in the morning when your saliva is there, you only test it once a week. So it's going to take you a few weeks to get into that range. That's where Cell Power comes in as a liquid supplement. It's just a dietary supplement. It's not there to help you treat any disease. It's helping to balance your body. It'll help you get your saliva balanced. If you can stay in that healing range, here's what you have to know. It's physically impossible for cancer cells to multiply or to spread if you stay in that range of 7.1 to 7.5. And anybody can do it if they work at it. Okay, so now back to your question. What kinds of dietary changes? The biggest thing we're finding is that what allows the cancer to get started in the first place, and if we go back to this idea of Dr. Simoncini, that cancer is a fungus, he's the only one talking about it, but all doctors understood this before. It, in my opinion, has very, very little to do with a person's DNA or genetic or family. It always says it runs, a lot of people say it runs in the family. We're finding not really. It may happen a lot in a family because it has to do with eating habits and lifestyle habits. So the things that contribute to cancer is what would cause a fungus to grow so strong that it can invade the cell. So each of our body is made up of 50 trillion different cells. Okay? So each cell has a cell membrane, and the cell membrane will close to keep out threats or keep out invaders. If you get a fungus that gets inside of the cell, it becomes what the disease was called originally. And I think we talked about this before, Cheryl. The original name,
yes, it is.
The original name of cancer was not cancer. If you want to know what cancer is, it's a constellation of stars in the heavens. Okay, the original name of cancer was fungation. And you can find that in books and textbooks up to even 1960 or 1961. It would say we have this terrible disease that's really becoming very, very prevalent in society, and it's called fungation. And then after it would be a parenthesis with the word cancer in it, is that they were starting to change the name to cancer. But fungation is the name of the disease that describes what's really happening. It means that not just that you have fungus in your body, because a lot of us have fungus in our body and we don't have cancer, but when that fungus gets inside the cell membrane and it goes and takes over the nucleus of the cell, which is responsible for the cell division or replication, regeneration, it's for creating new cells. Okay, when it takes that over, in that nucleus, of course, is the DNA. So a lot of people say you have cancer in your DNA. Well, yes, but that doesn't mean that it came from your parents or grandparents or your great-grandparents. It means that, yes, the fungus got into the nucleus where the DNA is, what controls the and you're talking about somebody who has cancer rapidly spread through their body. It's because once the fungus or this fungation, which means it got inside of the cell membrane, it gets inside of the nucleus, it then is able to throw the throttles wide open to cause cell replication to happen very, very, very quickly. And since the fungus is in the DNA, when the nucleus goes to split to create two cells out of one cell, you end up with fungus in the nucleus of both cells. So when Dr. Simoncini talks about that, he talks about helping a person get the alkalinity in contact with every tumor and with every cell that has it, and it's able to clear it very, very, very quickly.
Excuse me. How does the cell power literally do this? And does it come to the rescue with detoxifying? Tell the audience, the listening audience, how does it?
It doesn't. Cell power is just it's just a very condensed liquid food that has nothing to do with disease or healing. It's not a remedy. It's not a medicine. What it does is it gives everything the body needs to balance its own pH. And when the body has a balanced pH, it will always end up in that healing range of 7.1 to 7.5 in the clear fluids of the body. Now, when you're only testing the saliva is part of the clear fluids that make up 55% of your body weight. Now, the reason I'm going to try to keep this really simple because I know we're going to run out of time, but the simple part of this is that most of your body, over half of your body, is clear fluid. This fluid surrounds every cell. It allows the good cells to, if it's in the slightly alkaline range, only the good cells can divide or replicate or spread. Okay, you can only, the cell can only divide if it's in an alkaline range. That's what happens when it's healthy. If it already has the cancer in an acid range, so I think your earlier question was, how do you keep the bad acids out of your body? Well, here's what we've found. There are seven things that will really acidify the body. You'll end up with people, a lot of people have cancer. They're not just 6.0, which would be 12 times as much acid as they're supposed to have. Some of them have a pH of their saliva that's 5.0, which means they have as much acid in the clear fluids of their body as 120 healthy people all in one person. Okay, so you can be very, very acidic. And we're not talking about stomach acid. We're talking about the fluid that fills up all of the joints. That's clear fluid, your synovial fluid. We're talking about the fluid that fills up the spinal column. Your spinal fluid is clear fluid. It's the fluid that surrounds the brain. You know, so think of what happens with brain cancer. If that fluid that surrounds the brain is in the acid range, it ends up being the perfect environment for cancer to start, for this fungus to be strong enough to get inside the cell and take over the cell nucleus. So what are the seven things that acidify the body? It's not just all acid foods, because there are good acids and bad acids.
Okay.
Let me just pause for a second so people can...
Can you define that? The good acids and bad acids. Can you define
that?
Any
acid that your body can use to grow and to build itself is a good acid. Any acid the body can't use to grow and to repair itself and to build itself is a bad acid. For example, it has nothing to do with the pH. For example, fresh squeezed lemon juice has a pH of 2.3. That is very, very, very acidic. I mean, stomach acid, which is really strong acid that has a lot of hydrochloric acid in it, stomach acid is about 1 to 1.5. At 2.3 is fresh squeezed lemon juice. For a long time, people thought that if you had lemon juice and you put it in your body, it would make your body more acid. They found out that, no, it does the opposite. It helps alkalize or balance the body of a person with acidity. So how is this possible?
Okay.
It takes a good acid to push a bad acid out. For example, what are some of the good acids? If you go to your health food or nutrition store and you're buying flaxseed oil, omega-3 fish oil, barrage oil, organic coconut oil, any olive oil, all of the good oils are essential fatty acids. right? So they're acids, but they're good.
So you can get the good acid. Is this why the omega-3, omega-9 were being pushed to eradicate the body from having so many carcinogenics in it?
That's part of what it does, but there's two things. If it happens to be a good fat, like all of the good essential fatty acids we talked about, the good fats will also push the bad fats out. So, for example, if you have trans fat from some terrible thing, a lot of the older margarines used to have a lot of trans fat in it. So everybody's trying to avoid trans fat. A lot of people say, if you want to get rid of the bad fats, just have a no-fat diet. Turns out that's one of the worst things you can do.
That's the worst thing you can do, I understand, because you still need that good fat. And I'm familiar with essential fatty acids, and I work with them with children because predominantly the brain is surrounded by fats, and they need the omega fatty acids. And now I just found that the coconut oil is what I'm replacing in my home because it doesn't become rancid, and it also has all the – it's like a whole food. It has all the essential life that you need, and those oils are very important to the body. When people think that, my cholesterol is going to go up, but I told them, I said, there's some good fat that you need to put in the body, and you don't want the kind to become rancid, and if you fry with cooking oil, olive oil, virgin olive oil, those kind of oils are very healthy for the body, and I really, really found that mothers were really, really into using essential fatty acid, the omega-3s for their children who had various different emotional disorders.
That's true. Now,
let me ask you a question, though. What could you tell me about Michelle Scove Cook, who wrote the book, The 4-Week Ultimate Body Detoxification? What can you tell me about her book, and how beneficial would it be to our listening audience?
I don't know enough about that book to really comment on it. I can tell you this, that the other thing that you had mentioned, which was vitamin C, the major component in vitamin C is ascorbic acid. That's another one of the good acids. So I know everybody's looking, well, what should I change my diet to? But if I can, Cheryl, I don't know. I'll go whatever direction you want to go in the interview. But,
go ahead.
But,
that's
but
okay. Go ahead, Bert.
If I can, talk about the fact that some of the good acids include, for example, anytime a person's not getting enough protein in their diet, they can go to the health food store and they can buy a bottle of amino acids because protein is made of amino acids. But notice that the second word is acid. There are a lot of good acids that we have to have, the essential fatty acids, the ascorbic acid for vitamin C, the amino acids. They're all good acids. If you have enough of the good ones, they will help to push the bad ones out. So what are the bad ones? Here are the top seven acid-forming things in a person's life that they usually don't think about. The first one is coffee. The coffee bean itself has 208 different acids in the coffee bean, so it doesn't make so much difference whether it's caffeinated, decaf, organic, non-organic. Any coffee bean has 208 different acids in the coffee bean, none of which is used by the body, so it can't be used. So if these 208 different acids are in the incompatible or harmful range to the human body, they will cause your pH of your clear fluids, including your saliva, to go down very, very low. Okay.
Well, let me ask you a question. There are products out with gamma-dine mushroom in it, and they are using the coffee bean to camouflage it so they can deliver this mushroom that's supposed to help with cancer, but yet they're giving a coffee with the acid. Is that like an oxymoron or what?
Well, unless the mushroom is able to neutralize all of the bad acids in the coffee, you have a problem there, because on a scale of 0 to 10 of acid-forming intensity, meaning how much bad acidity will be caused or created in the body, on a scale of 0 to 10, the coffee bean is a 10. Okay, it's at the that's the highest, that's the worst. It means that it only takes a half a cup of coffee to keep a person in an acid range for the rest of their life on average, just a half a cup a day. So what you have to do is have enough good acids to push it out. So what are some good acids? Fresh onion, fresh garlic, all of these have good acids in them.
Don't let me sidetrack you. Go back to those the first 10 bad acids. Can you tell us those again?
Yep. Starting with the most powerful ones, the worst ones, is that the coffee bean would be a 10. Okay. The second would be tobacco. And as bad as smoking tobacco is, and it is, because it'll eventually catch up to you and most people get lung cancer from it, even worse is chewing the tobacco. Because instead of taking 20 to 30 years for lung cancer to develop, you've got maybe 2 or 3 years for throat cancer or tongue cancer to develop. So why is it? The person's not even smoking, so why would chewing the tobacco be so bad? It's the acid in the tobacco, and your body can't use it. Now, there are some good uses for tobacco. So for all the tobacco farmers out there, yes, that's great. Grow it, but it's not to chew and it's not to smoke. It's used to help heal cattle if you are using herbs for your livestock. So for the bruises on cattle, you can use the tobacco leaf. But anyway, that would be an 8 to a 9. It's almost as bad as coffee in terms of forming that acidity in the body. Alcohol in any form would be a 7 to an 8 on the scale. A 5 on the acid-forming intensity scale would be black tea with tannic acid. Now, that's not all your good herbal teas, but we're talking about if it's a regular black tea that has tannic acid in it. Tannic acid is not something you want in your body. As the name tells you, tannic acid is what they use to tan leather. That means you take cowhide and you make shoes or purses or wallets out of it by using tannic acid. Is that what you want to put into your mouth and have it go through your stomach and through your digestive tract? And I don't think anybody wants the inside of their intestines to end up like their shoes or their purse. So that would be a 5 on the scale. What does that mean? It's only half as bad as the 10 where coffee is. It takes one cup of black tea to do the same acid-forming damage as a half a cup of coffee. Okay, now let's go down to the next item. You know, we've talked about coffee would be number 1, tobacco 2, alcohol 3, black tea 4. Number 5 is carbonated beverages. So a lot of people are saying, well, I don't drink tea or coffee. Oh, but they drink a lot of sodas, a lot of colas. Okay, now it's so powerful. I mean, I'll never forget my father showing me when I was very young to take a cola in a bottle or a can, and he would go out there when his car battery had all of this terrible corrosion on the outside of it, and he would just take a bottle of cola and he would pour it on the battery terminals, and it would just fizz and everything else, and it would take all the corrosion off the battery terminals. You know, and then he'd turn to me and he'd say, well, is that something you want to put inside your body? And I thought, whoa, no, did you just see what that happened? I mean, I think almost everybody has heard about the science experiments where they take an aquarium full of cola and they put a piece of raw meat in it, like a roast, and they put it completely submerged in cola, and they leave it over the weekend, and when they come back on Monday, it's dissolved. Again, raw meat is like the inside of our body. Do you really want it to dissolve? So the acid in there is, if it's a cola, it could be high as an 8 or a 9, but if it's just a carbonated beverage like a club soda or ginger ale, it has an acid-forming intensity of about a 1. That means it would take 5 cups, which is about a liter of soda, per day to do the same.
So you're saying ginger ale and any type of acid, club soda, is still bad for you, right?
Well, yeah, but not as much. It would take a whole liter a day. It would take 5 cups of ginger ale or club soda every single day to equal that half a cup of coffee a day. Okay, so if you want to compare it to 1 cup of coffee, it would take 10 cups or 2 liters. But once you start putting caffeine and sweeteners, almost all in the United States, all regular sodas and colas don't use sugar anymore, cane sugar. You have to go to Mexico to actually get a glass bottle with soda where they use cane sugar. Here they're using high fructose corn syrup. And the high fructose corn syrup is very, very damaging to your body. And then
your body has to break that down, and it has to go through so many different digestive aids that you are overtaxing the kidney and the liver, I would imagine.
Yeah, and it's even worse
than
that.
Pure cane sugar.
Yeah.
Because pure cane sugar would be digested differently, wouldn't it?
Totally differently, but here's the other part is if you have a diet soda or a diet cola, they're using fake sugars, which are even worse. As bad as high fructose corn syrup is, if you have somebody that's using an aspartame or a saccharin or a sucralose, which now virtually all diet soda in the United States is using sucralose. So they got rid of aspartame, which was bad, and got something that is much, much worse because of how it affects the body. Okay, so colas would be one, but by the time you add in caffeine and a fake sugar, it could be as high as a 9. It could be as high as tobacco. So it's interesting because in the United States, a person who's trying to be really, really healthy will say, you know, they'll be standing on a street corner waiting to cross with the crosswalk with the light, and somebody will stand next to them, and they're puffing on their cigarette, and the person standing next to them is really health conscious, and they'll think, oh, man, you know, that person is just ruining their health. And yet there's
I'm going to take a patient identification and give that number off because I want callers to see your number and call in. Excuse me, Bert. What I'd like to say, listeners, if you are out there and like to call in with your question, our number is 646-478-0270, and we're talking to Bert Gooding, and he's talking to us about alternative measures that we can use to prevent our bodies from being acidy and the types of things that will make our body heavily acid. Now, he's already talked about some of the pH factors, and he talked a little bit about the foods that we should consume. Now, he's talking about what are the foods that could actually wear and tear on our body with acid, and he's going over those points. And you might want to come in to take a listen because I think this is an excellent time to learn how to readjust your diets and change your diets. And as he talked about those amino acids that we can include in our diet, he also talked about the good oils, and we definitely want to get into those good oils. And as we talked about the essential fatty acid, these are not just being given as to keep down the carcinogenic, but they are used, as you said, to push out the bad acid. There's some good acids we can use. Remember that. So, people, please call in with your questions. And once again, you have Care to Read here. And I'm going to put Bert back in the atmosphere. You have the mic, Bert.
Okay. Thank you. So we've talked about everything clear down to sugars. And, again, even table sugar, cane sugar, is going to be acid-forming. And so that's why a lot of times people will say, you know, sugar feeds cancer. And everybody say, yeah, that's true. But they're leaving out the critical part, is that cancer doesn't eat sugar. Cancer survives on acid. What allows the cancer to do, now sugar is acid-forming. But again, if you leave acid out of the equation, then that means you're taking out the most important part that you need to know on how to get better. A lot of people will say stress kills. Well, yes, but it's not the stress that kills. It's that stress creates acid. The seventh item we were going to talk about, number six, was sugars, and that can be anywhere from, if you have a good sugar like a stevia or a xylitol or an agave nectar or any of those are very, very low on the acid-forming scale. They'd be lower than a 1, probably lower than 0.5. The only sweetener that's alkaline-forming, it doesn't create acid at all, is raw natural honey. So raw natural honey, and there are types of honey that even a diabetic can use. So somebody with diabetes can ask for a special Tupelo honey, and the Tupelo honey is then does not throw off their blood sugar in a person with diabetes. So you want to check in with that with your doctor and read up on that. But those are the good things to have. Now, the sugars are there. Now, number seven on that list of the seven things that are highly acid-forming and that push you into that bad range, number seven is not a substance at all. It ends up that is bottled up unresolved stress. So when it's not the stress that all of us have every day. It's the bottled up anger, worry, fear, all of those things are very destructive, very, very deadly, because stress, the reason that stress kills is that stress creates more acid than anything else. On a scale of 0 to 10, where coffee is a 10, Bottled up unresolved stress can be as high as a 20, 30, or a 50 on that scale. So we've got to learn to do deep breathing and meditating and praying and or yoga or martial arts where you're jumping and kicking and yelling and doing all those things to get the acid out of your body. Now, as we get we overcome the stress in our life and we get rid of the bad acids, we put the good acids in our body, it will push those bad ones out, and we will get healthier and healthier. Once our pH is balanced between 7.1 to 7.5, we're in a safe range.
Excuse me, but can you repeat those acids again, those essential oils? Can you repeat those again for the listening audience because I'm writing this down?
Oh, yeah. Like you said, the virgin coconut oil, the omega-3 fish oil, the flaxseed oil, the barrage oil, the evening primrose oil, all of the essential fatty acids. Essential fatty acids means that your body has to have that, and it's a good kind of a fatty acid. It will help push out the bad fats, that's the fatty part, and it helps push out the bad acids, which is the acid part. Now, other good acids include organic apple cider vinegar. So when you have something like a Bragg's organic apple cider vinegar, it's very acidic, but it doesn't make you more acid. It pushes the bad acids out, and it actually helps a person normalize their pH. You don't want to alkalize your body. You want to normalize it. If you become too alkaline, it's just as dangerous as being too acidic. So you want to stay in that range of 7.1 to 7.5. So fresh onions are good, garlic.
So what you're saying is you wouldn't run out and try to do all this alkalinity. You want to keep a normal balance. I'm glad you stated that. Okay.
Absolutely.
So what about the onions you were saying? What about the onions?
Yep, fresh onions and fresh garlic have good acids in them, and a good acid pushes a bad acid out. So I could go in another direction, but we'll probably have to save that for a future interview because I want to make sure that you could ask your last questions.
Okay. Well, what I wanted to know, Bert, was so in essence, you can do some things to eradicate cancer in your diet, and these are very simple. If we could go and get those essential oils, and the question I wanted to know was evening primrose oil, which I had initially been introduced to from a perspective of menopause for women. Can men also take the evening primrose oil?
Yes, but it doesn't have to be that one. Like I say, men might want to do the virgin coconut oil. And we're not saying that if you have all of the good oils that that's going to shut down cancer. That's not what I'm saying. But there is one thing that will shut down the cancer, and about I would say over 100 of my nutritional clients, and I work with their doctors and with their dentists, so, you know, I don't work just as a nutritionist. I'll work with their doctor so that we're all on the same page and we're all, you know, you don't ever want to take advice from two different professionals without pulling them both into the same conversation because you're just going to end up doing things that counteract each other. But when I have about 100 people who come to see me, and they're cancer survivors. And their question is, how do I make sure...
What is that one thing? What is that one thing you just mentioned that will shut it down?
That is getting your... It's the acid alkaline balance has to be, for your saliva, between 7.1 to 7.5. And with that, you don't have to worry about cancer coming back if you're a cancer survivor. 7.1 to 7.5 on your saliva.
7.1 to 7.5. And you do that by incorporating all these things into your diet. What about meditation? What about meditation? Does meditation help also?
Well, yes, and it definitely helps. But the fastest way to do it is not just a dietary change. It's if you take something like Cell Power, which is a condensed food, if you put 30 drops of Cell Power liquid into 2 quarts of water, you drink that every day, within 3 weeks your body will be pH balanced. So that's a very fast way to do it. But for long term, yes, you need to get your diet.
And Bert, I want to tell you that we're coming up on that 7:30 hour. I want to thank you so much. I wish we had more time. We're going to let our listening audience know that Bert is welcome back here. We do know that he's going to be in the area in October, and hopefully I will get a chance to talk to him before then to see if we can get him back on our show. And Bert, you have given us a wealth of information. Listening audience, this was the show to be listening in on because the information he gave us is so valuable. And Bert, if you will accept my invitation to come back, you're definitely welcome to come back. Will you come back and visit us again?
Yes, thank you very much. I will.
Thank you so much. And on that note, ladies and gentlemen, we got to get ready to get out of here. We want to say that number once again is 646-478-0270. We'll be back with you, ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow. Same time, same station here in the studio. And right now we're talking. Now, Bert, pronounce your last name because I think we hatched it up. Is it Gooding or Golding?
Golding. Bert Golding. And like I
Golding.
Said, I'm
okay. Thank you. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I'm a clinical nutritionist, and I will be in your area to do a live seminar for the public, like you said, in October.
And he has a wealth of information. I personally think that he has really added to my family's life and given us some hope and given us some direction. And I want to thank you so much, Bert. You've been just a gem for even giving me the information, talking with me, and giving me some sense of peace about the situation. I know that, listeners, if you're not going out to your helpful stores, you ought to be. We are going to talk about how to set our kitchen up. And Queen Afua talks about taking things out of your kitchen and reestablishing your kitchen with those things. Coconut oil, ladies, is the big thing that we're looking at because we're finding that it will beautify a woman, and it also has the capability of giving you all those amino acids. So when you think of oils, don't think of these oils making you fat, but beautifying you. And as we know, the amino acids are in these oils, and essential fatty acid, I've seen children turn around from being behavior problems to being little angels because their mothers have taken their synovial joints and inundated them with the essential oils and with some of these omega-3s and omega-6s and omega-9. When you go in the stores, remember these things that Bert talked about. So when you're grabbing vitamins and you don't know what to get, these are not things that can cure you, but these are things that will help your body stay in a stage so that it's healthy. And we're not talking about a cure here. We're not advocating anyone being completely eradicated and cured. We're talking about preventative maintenance here. Neither one of us are doctors, and I think Bert indicated that earlier, that he is a clinical nutritionist. And we are trying to make it possible so that our listening audience, our families, can be a consumer and be a highly educated consumer who is finding information to better offset some of the things that they're doing in their diet. Now, these carbonated drinks, ladies and gentlemen, we're just not going to tolerate it because they're alternative, and there's alternative to sugars. The stevia I have actually incorporated in my life. Over 10 years I've known about stevia, and it was so hard to get it one time, but I knew that if you didn't want to become diabetic, stevia was just, you know, if you were hypoglycemia, the next stage to that is going into full-blown becoming a diabetic. And for those of you who are worried about that, stevia is something great to put in your diet and to alleviate some of those unnatural sweeteners. And we're becoming inundated with all of these carcinogenics, and we are preserving ourselves. We're like a shelf life product ourselves because we incorporate so many of these things in our diet without even thinking, Bert. And I do know that we are going to have to be very, very conscious of the fact that we can do something about it to change our diet. And on that note, I'm going to get out of here, ladies and gentlemen. I can't take you to Canaan land, but I'm going to take you somewhere else. All right, Bert. Thank you so very much for being with us. And in October, we're definitely having you here, or I'm going to be coming to the school where you are, so we will have you on the air. This has been a great show, ladies and gentlemen. Don't change that dial. Keep that dial right there. We're going to be back here tomorrow, same time, 6:30, bringing you information, educating you on consumer information. We have Bert Golding in the audience, one of the finest experts in clinical nutritionists. He has given us some great things to help us to prepare our bodies so that we can be a defense mechanism and fight back against that big thing. So go out to the health stores and find these items that he's talked about. Put them on your shelf and help yourself. You got your Omega 7 here, the one you need, the advocate, and the advisor. So we'd like to thank you, listening audience, for joining us. You can tune in to our show. We have shows on demand. You can come back and listen to this show if you weren't able to make it today. Once again, do join us Monday through Friday, 6:30 to 7:30. And first, thank you so very much. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been a great show. And on that note, we'll say goodbye but not farewell. We will see you here tomorrow. And we want to give a shout out to Harambe Radio Station, our neighbor radio station. We haven't given a shout out before. We say Harambe, Harambe, Harambe. Can't take you to Canaan land today, but I'm out of here, ladies and gentlemen. Now, if you haven't heard anything about you can fight back against cancer, you've heard it today right here in Care to Read. I hope you remember those books that we talked about. Dr. Yesenia's book on cancer as a fungus. Go out and get that book. Make sure you read it and endow yourself with knowledge and power. Because we know knowledge is power. Knowledge is power. So go out and get some information and align yourself for better to better. We had Golding in the audience speaking today. He gave us a wealth of information. We want to thank him. He's going to be back in the area in October. And hopefully he'll come back on the show as one of our guests. He's from Los Angeles, California. Remember what he said, ladies and gentlemen. You always have a right to that second opinion. As an advocate, I encourage you to take advantage of your right. If you are a cancer patient and surviving cancer patient, then help somebody else out there to eradicate the big C. Once again, we thank you for staying with us for the whole hour. You've been a great listening audience. We look forward to having you back tomorrow, same time, same place. And we'd like to thank our host, Terrell Barr. Thank you very much for being a part of our show and assisting us. Our chat room will be open tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, but we got to go over to Canaan land this evening. So for anyone that's looking to go in the chat room, it won't be open this evening, but we will be back tomorrow. Fighting with cancer, there's a way to fight that. And Bert even told us there's a way to test your saliva through cell power and checking out if you have a natural range of pH balance. You're not looking for alkaline, you're not looking for acid, but a normal range. And he gave us that normal range so you can fight that, because knowledge is power. Knowledge is power. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for staying with us the whole time. We give you your world back. Thank you for loaning us your atmosphere this evening. And go in peace and have a great evening. Your Omega 7, the advocate, is here. And your advisor. I give you your world back. Odabo. Keep it right on that dial, 646-478-0270. Same time tomorrow, 6:30, ladies and gentlemen. Join us. Our chat room will be open tomorrow. You can chat about it. You can come and talk about it. It's your Omega, the advocate and the advisor, here to serve you. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for staying the whole time with us. Look forward to seeing you tomorrow. Once again, good evening.
That was a good show. I had Kurt to go in. That dude was good.